Well, it sounds like you've been in with the pack nicely. You're family already. Oh, which...
I have an old lab out of my eye on that got hit by a car and popped it away.
What's the cat's name?
We call her Coco. Little Coco Bean, because her fur's real funny. And when I first got her, the way she curled up, she looks like a little Coco Bean against the blanket.
There's a great big fat turkey that lives next door to Bobby. Is he still alive, Bobby?
Turkey?
Yeah.
No, I think he got divorced after his wife found out that his brain won't like him. Hello?
Hey, thank you.
Somebody else, Coco?
Yeah, Coco. Yes, sir.
Quite a few. Eric is going to try to... Well, we've about got a full house. I don't know how many instigators.
Quite a few.
Yeah. They like this information, even though they can't use it.
Well, I gotta stop. That's bullshit. What do you think, like?
bad too. Just like seeing the radio set me.
Randy, are you still there with us?
Well, that doesn't sound any improvement at all.
Only a little bit.
How many of you have hold buttons that you can still hear me on?
Yes. Mute
or hold, whichever one you can hear me on.
I know, unless I change phones to the fax machine and use speaker only.
Well, you can do that. You're going to need both hands for you a little bit. Everybody that can go hold or mute and listen to what you're going to need your ears up. That might get rid of some of it. Okay, one more time. The discernment of spirit. First thing, never venture down into hell in your own spirit body. Always use a body of light made for that one purpose and for that one trip. Get that. Make a body of light. Use it once and dispose of it. Now before we began, there's a few lagging behind from my previous instruction. And we're going to refine it a bit to get a better preparation for the discerning of spirits, handling and use of the great elements, and entering into and safely returning from the plains of heaven and the depths of hell. When you project out, that image is manifest in the every plane. With practice, from here you can see everything that exists on the earth, and those spiritual entities that are the souls of every living thing, from microscopic to the giant sequoia. This plane is about as high as most of the psyche can see, quote unquote, and usually the plane of most clairvoyance, especially for beginners like a Turian neophyte. This is where you get it from. And you can't do more because the problem is with the sciences and not the science. Okay, here we go. Now, if you've got a body of light or anything, get rid of it for the moment. You don't want it. Now, put an image of yourself, not a body of light, but your own energy. Now, a few feet from wherever you are, and think the word etheric. Now the sense of the etheric is a gentle coolness. There isn't any motion of the plane itself, only a place to be when not inside your physical body with all its distractions, itching ears, flies on your fingers and everything else. As a general rule, there isn't anything there except you and the etheric images of whatever's in proximity, like the furniture, etc. Now that general coolness is a good habit forming, actually. If it were not for the terror of the newly dead, the place of peace and relief. Now, look around as if you were seeing from the point of that etheric body. You will note that if you can see anything at all, just relax and look, you don't have to strain, it will be your immediate area as it would be with the lights off. That dim gray is normal and the signature color of the etheric plane. Now you're in the etheric, that's the upper 10% that hangs above the devas with the earth in the middle. Everything that has white out shadow appearance. The shadows we see from time to time are spirits manifest on this lowest of all the planes of heaven, when you know there's something you saw out of the corner of the eye and you look, there's nothing there. Yes, there was. Now, bring that image back into yourself and connect it as you would a body of light. Study of planes. Just be sure to always go up or down them in order as they exist from Earth. Eventually, you will automatically be able to project directly into any given plane or depth, except for Jason, which your proper training will ensure you to avoid. You jackass, you're going to get there. So do it one plane at a time, up and down, just like you would if you were in an elevator. You've got to pass all fours. Do exactly the same thing, and you won't get in trouble. Now, again, put on another image of yourself and charge it with the word Everett, exactly as you did before. Now, once you sense the Everett energy, the coolness, the stillness, then raise yourself into the next higher plane by thinking the word astral. That's all you got to do. Now, the main difference in appearance between it and the Everett is that its background color is solid black, and you no longer see the area around you as from the effort. There'll be other stuff there. You haven't gone anywhere. You're still in the same time, just up a level in existence where there's no temperature at all. If you can see or sense anything at all, it'll be something similar to those mysterious beings portrayed in the major arcana of the tarot card. And note, the background is always solid black, even though you have no trouble seeing them as if it were daylight. Everything in close proximity is lit up, and there are no shadows. Now command your spirit body with the word Efreet, and you should sense the coolness. You're coming back down. It's very subtle, and not like a blast of cold air, just a quiet coolness. Now bring your image back into yourself and connect it just as you did before. No big deal. And anybody, proven or not, can do this as often as they like. Now be aware that when you're making your body of light, you're passing through these planes or getting your light energy from them wherever and however high you can reach. Proven knowers always have an edge, both as to how high they can get and the amount of energies they can endure. The process is the same, except for the planes you pass through or stop in, and remains this simple until you can achieve sufficient experience to project directly to the plane you're choosing. Until then, follow the simple procedure to the letter. Now we're going to practice a bit of hell and back. For this, you need a body of light, as you should never enter any part of hell with a spirit image of yourself. Never. Now, if you don't have a body of light, make one. Restore it. But do not make a sunlight, nor secure any black fire. You only want the body of light. Feels like everybody is up as far as you're going to get. Now, stretch forth your hands beyond the reach, like you would have a belly ball, as if you were calling up a spirit, and charge yourself. Take your hands and just pull up the energy. Not a belly ball, pull up the energy. Akasha. Air. Fire. Water. And pull the energies you call to yourself and charge both your physical body and your body of light. Okay. Now, stand your body of light out before you, just like you did that Efric image a while ago, fully charged and under your complete command and control. Now, this precaution is not necessary to enter the plains of heaven. rest of us, just stop and vote the word. Every can put their body of light back into your physical body. That's all you have to do. We're going to clean it in a minute. What I tell you to instruct, do it silently within your own self. That way you won't disturb anybody else. Now, as you call the names of the depths I present, you will feel a slight sinking sensation, or like you're going to fall forward. And that is normal, and nothing to be afraid of. It's your indication of what you're attempting is proceeding as required. Now, occurrence, instruct your body of light by thinking the word etheric. Once you feel the coolness, instruct your body of light by thinking the word deros. That slight sinking feeling is normal. You feel a little heavy, like a little drag. And some of you might even sense like you're falling forward or something. That's nothing to worry about in either instance. Deros is darker, more intense, a bit time, it's an energy cycle. And about like standing in a goo rather than the lightness of the etheric plane above it. Now this discomfort is almost like a nervous stomach from too much coffee, and right now it would be very light. This is where the consciousness descends at death when influenced by drugs, narcotics, suicide, or praise Jesus nonsense. Now instruct your body of light by thinking the word etheric. You're going back up. Once you feel the peaceful coolness of the etheric plane, dissolve that body of light. Now, make a new body of light from the highest plane you can get, and return it to your physical body and connect it in a normal manner. Now, are there any questions at this point? Going up or down the planes of heaven to practice your astral projection up in the spirit, or down in the spirit, as it could be called the other way, is that simple. It's a simple practice. You still need to take your root and work it like is given you in the AED, and that will enhance it. These practices are nothing more than light, non-conscious transfers. In some cases, some of you are getting it down. Of a simple AD practice. That's all they are. Now, you already know how to put a hammer in some people's ass, and we're going to do another round here in a few minutes. But now to the discerning of spirits proper. The more you experience, you gain from studying the great elements, the planes of heaven, and the depths of hell, the better you will be at discerning spirits and everything else. I begin with an excerpt from the audience of Alma that we had on May 7, 2010. Readers of this script will note the words of the Most High are in double quotes, even if the letter colors have been long lost. This portion directs our attention to the discerning of spirits, angelic, demonic, and assigned as we encounter them hour by hour. I've long warned about enticing any spirit to action without knowing exactly who you're doing it with, exactly what you're doing, and exactly why you're doing it. Conversation between the Most High and me sets the standard. Jump off the standard, and you're going to shit the bed. Most High quotes, "Beloved son of war, what is this you have done concerning the demons, their staff, and minions?" My reply was, "Sir, I have delivered them into the hands of my inferiors, not without due caution, but to bind and inflict them and all who follow them, even in ignorance. I have set my great sword against Lucifer and all his staff and all their minions, that if they interfere in any manner with so much as one word from any of my adherents, his time will be full and my decision, and I will slay him, as many of his as I can reach." I've cautioned my crews not to tweak the nose of any demon on their own accord. I've cautioned that such a stupidity will result in a fully justified retaliation, which the offender will probably not survive. It is the law of immunity in force. Sir, though it endangers my Akurians and sends them in harm's way, I will not recall my order nor fail to avenge any inference by any demon, and I will not rescue any who violate my order not to tweak the nose of any demon. The Most High said, Beloved Son of War, Water of my great violence, it is well said of you that the gates of hell tremble at the mention of your name, and the shutters of hell are no defense against you. Have you also cautioned my beloved occurrence with respect to discernment of spirit, that they know the divine from the demonic? I said, Sir, I have, and on more than one occasion. I refuse to cite the whole of life's scripts with every order, and if any are so idiotic as to tempt Satan without proper discernment, his destruction upon them is upon their own head. Now that's the end of that particular excerpt. And I advise all who encounter these presents to pay exacting attention to the above excerpt, as the words of the Most High and my comments are without appeal until Shiloh. Any deviation will be accounted upon the head of the offender to the sole exclusion of everybody else, including previous generational deceivers and programmers. New jackass, it is your baby. The true and accurate discerning of spirit is the second most individual capability. Astral projection up in the spirit, living access to the planes of heaven that's bought and paid for by Emmanuel, is the first. The most important factor in discerning of spirits is the fact there is no such thing as a permanent discernment. Back on the air?
Yes, sir.
Okay. As I said, there is no such thing as a permanent discernment. Each and every communication, without exception, must be re-verified regardless of how familiar you think you are with any spirit. The divines won't imitate anybody else, but the infernals will attempt to imitate everybody, especially the spirits you found to be true and righteous. So just because you get through to somebody once and hear what you think is that voice again doesn't mean a damn thing. To start them again. The divines not only do not have a problem with being discerned and verified, they also know that proper verification takes some earth time. The information divines provide is delivered in such manner as to permit verification before the information must be acted upon. While the internals are always in a rush mode, this is going to happen instantly. Do this now. And that's a lot of poppycock. They will create a circumstance for just that purpose, hoping to infuse your discerning in their deception, if you are ignorant enough to accept it. It happens that quick, it was an infernal to start with. Infernals do as much damnation, and the divines do not. Be advised and be warned. Fall into that trap, and the Akurians will not even attempt to rescue you from your own stupidity, and nobody else can. Now to the background information everybody must know. The Akurians are infinitely concerned with being right and righteous in all things without exception, such as required to stand before the Most High, even in repentance. Therefore, the Akurians must consider all things as to their righteousness. desire to involve themselves. The first consideration is the right thing to do. Should we find the situation is unclear and we can't determine what the right thing to do is, then we act on the process that the right thing to do is to find out what is the right thing to do. We gather more information about the situation, people, property, effects, and the outcome on all such details. After, and only after, we have sufficient information that is proven to be true and accurate, will any Imperium make any decision with respect thereto, including whether or not to be further involved. All true and righteous Imperiums conduct all their decisions and involvements in this manner. Be clear. If an Imperium isn't sure what is the right thing to do, then the first order of business is to find out what is the right thing to do and to do nothing until those facts are determined. With respect to righteousness, the same process and procedures follow. Either something is righteous or it is unrighteous. No other variable. And a half-truth is a whole lie, so it is with righteousness. Any part, regardless of how infinitely small, that is unrighteous, infects and contaminates the whole into unrighteousness. That which is unrighteous must never be brought before the Most High under any circumstances, except to serve the purpose of verifying truth and the true righteousness of some other presentation, such as those responsible for the abomination. On their head. That which is unrighteous must never be brought before the Most High as anything else, and never as a solitary presentation. That which is righteous will prove itself to be righteous, but not necessarily immediately. That which is unrighteous will prove itself to be unrighteous as expedient as its damnations will permit. Therefore, Imperiums are not anxious with either situation, for they are about the business of true righteousness and have all righteous power and holy authority to discern, to judge, to act, to involve, to refuse, to start, to cease, to reduce, to expand, to expose, to shield, to recuse, to bless and to curse as they know to be appropriate. The occurrence will do the right thing without exception or deviation from true righteousness. And whether that shall be a relief or a detriment upon the situation or individuals will depend solely and exclusively upon the righteousness of that situation and of the individuals. The occurrence will not make any exceptions regardless of the situation or the individuals. Wealth cannot purchase any righteous thing from any Imperium. As righteous powers and holy authorities are earned in any and all instances, Imperiums are immune to threats, even in their quietest moments, never reduce or challenge Lucifer and all his minions, and we tell them to do their worst. Imperiums do not deviate from true righteousness, that permits them to stand blameless before the Most High, and Lucifer with all his own powers and all of his minions combined cannot dissuade or denigrate that fact. Thus it is of the occurrence with both the discernment of the right thing to do and with all things righteous and unrighteous. Now since the discerning of spirits is a bit tedious to learn, this instruction will proceed in such manner as to have a bit of satisfaction, if not enjoyment as we go. But know this, first and foremost. If you attempt to pull up a spirit from a racially mixed person who has not secured a soul, it will feel different than anything else you will encounter with this practice. The feel is like a polluted or rotten substance, a bit slimy without being sticky. And when you want to find out if somebody is pure in their generations or not, with a bit of practice, this process is just about infallible. put your hands out before you, farther than you would in making a belly ball, and call the name of someone you know who is still alive. And you'll feel them between your hands, usually just a half a minute or so, usually holding them at about the waist, because you're not lifting a body, you've got a spirit, a soul. Instantly, you can read them like a book, and they can't hide anything. But be cautious about entering into their sacred ground, even if it is easy to do. And note the essence of how a spirit and a live body feels. It's just going to feel different than that. Now, just let them go. One more time, all you're going to do is pull your hands apart. Only this time, we're going to do the same thing. Only I want you to pull up somebody you know is dead. They have no choice in the matter except shield as decays. And note the difference between how a spirit and a living body feels and how this spirit of a dead body feels. It's colder, more rigid, like a solid, and more aware of what you're doing. And it can't do a damn thing about it, but it knows. Now, let it go. Just pull your hands apart. If you feel any contamination on your hands, just pull it off and throw it, but not into any other living creature. Not at least yet. Now that's simple. They all three feel differently. And you're going to learn that the more you pull them up, the more you'll get familiar with it. Now, the process of discerning spirits is the same as reading any given force or energy. First, you must have a spirit, force or energy to discern. Spirits, unlike forces and energies that are everywhere, must either be located or called, as they can be about their own business just like any other conscious entity. Having been versed in the recognition and discernment of a conscious air, fire, water, and earth in your previous instructional, we will concentrate on living conscious entities before we began to intrude on pure spirits. First, we're going to choose a target to study. We need a living person or someone we don't like. We're going to discern, as in read, them to know their innermost secrets, especially the secrets they don't want us to know even exist. We're not only going to discern the bastard, each of us being a bit differently inclined as a result of our individual life experiences, we're probably each going to discern different points. Now that doesn't mean we're not discerning accurately. It only means our discerning is somewhat limited by our own life experience. At the present, anyhow. However, because our previous experience with the aforesaid Akasha, air, fire, water, and earth, we can verify one another as we take this master through the court of the Grand Council of the Kuriak. That puts our accuracy on track and makes good use of our 100-plus-fold increase of righteous powers and authority. The target for our discerning is Barack Hussein Obama. Now listen and follow my instructions exactly. Make yourself a body of light, energize it behind heaven you can reach, and return to your physical body and connect. You don't need any black fire. Now remember, connecting is as simple as putting your body of light back into your physical body and tensing it. Tensing the physical body will connect any energy you charge yourself with. Now this pulling up the spirit is about the same process of making a belly ball. Just hold your hands out farther to avoid getting your own life force mixed in with the manifestation. Neither Barack Hussein Obama, any of his minions, or anyone else other than a true and righteous and current and proven knower can do a damn thing about being called in such a manner, and have absolutely no defense whatsoever from anybody who wants to do it. I caution everybody to take careful thought before calling up any spirit, living or dead, as our next procedure, discerning come reading them, will be fraught with inaccuracies, their own misconceptions and delusions mixed in with every quackpot idea the Luciferians can inject. Only true and righteous, superior and proven knowers can venture here with any degree of accuracy, as this is the realm of truth and righteousness. In this case, we want the Master to know, one, who the occurrence are taking his ass to task, two, who, me, you're running the show, I want him to know that, and that I am the Supreme Lord of Supreme Lords and Supreme Judge of Supreme Judges from whom there is no appeal. Four, that you are the true and righteous sons and daughters of Akuria. And five, the sole and exclusive voice of the Most High in this generation of fire. Six, we want him to know he's on call before eternal justice, the High Court, where only truth needs no preparation. And seven, there is not a damn thing he can do about it. No escape or rescue from us, and the forces and energies from the great depths of hell we're going to inflict will remain with him forever. Regardless of what he's physically involved in at the moment, he will consciously be aware of all this, although he cannot discern us of himself, because he doesn't know how. I'm going to pose the first series of questions. And once you've discerned them properly, each of you will be given a chance to present your own question, and all of us will ask it and discern our respective answers. That all of you can get this in your mind in the same manner, repeat what we want this bastard to know after me. Think it through. One, who the occurrence are that's taking his ass to task. Two, who Elaku, Alahai, Trahai, is running the show. Three, that I am the Supreme Lord of Supreme Lords and Supreme Judge of Supreme Judges, from whom there is no appeal. Four, that you are the true and righteous sons and daughters of Akuria. Five, the sole and exclusive voice of the Most High in this generation of fire. Six, we want him to know he's on trial before eternal justice, the High Court, where only truth makes no preparation. And seven, there's not a damn thing he can do about it. No escape or rescue for us, and the forces and energies from the great depths of hell we're going to inflict will remain with him forever. Now, you don't have to recite it for him. That is your library. This is the person you are when you're talking to him. Now, before we do anything else to this bastard, we need to heal ourselves a little bit. Now, with your palms facing one another, call Akasha, air, fire, water, and earth in that order, using only those words, and read the spirit parts of each as you call them. Once through the series, call or think the name Barack Hussein Obama, and each of you will instantly sense his all presence before you with your hands and about his waist. Everybody get it? All right, someone didn't get fully charged. Repeat after me in your mind. Akasha, air, fire, water, earth. Okay. Now, think the name Barack Hussein Obama. Okay, now you got it. Now, Super Jerk is at your mercy. I'm wide open to your knowing anything and everything about him you have a desire to explore. I just don't know any Akurians that dwell that much in a filthy mind. For this particular drill, I will pose the initial questions, and you will repeat them in spirit. Just hold on to him. He can't go anywhere. Don't let him slip away. He's there till you get ready to turn him loose. Now, you will instantly detect the changes in the spirit that irrevocably informs you of both the answer and the truth of the answer.
speak in the spirit, and you'll instantly detect the changes in that spirit that will give you the answer and the truth of the answer. You will instantly detect three factors: the spirit's efforts to resist, to attempt to lie, and the fact the spirit is fully aware of the righteous power and holy authority of your presence. Yes, it will be terrified. Normally we don't form the spirit, just bring them up and discern it. But in this case, we're making an exception. Something you all need to know how to do, and to teach your replacements. When the spirit attempts to lie, you will not only detect the lie, but the truth of what the lie is, what it's really all about, and what he's trying to hide. I will ask a question for you to repeat the spirit, and the spirit energy will confirm or deny an absolute truth for you to discern by the same process as you discern the great elements. Nothing different. Just as you feel the cooler water or the heaviness of earth, you will feel the essence of truth even when the answer is a no, because that no is the truth. And the rest of the information will be there just like wet is with water, and you'll have to permit yourself time to discern it all. In later practice, this will be a critical part of your discerning. Once you pose my formulated question, you may reply as quick as you have the answer. Next, go as neutral as you can and manage to prevent reading your own preferences and suspicions. And let the energy tell you. Now you're asking Barack Hussein Obama's spirit, and you've got him. Are you a knowing and willing liar? Absolutely right. He thinks he's obeying a higher order. So his white lies are excusable truths. They are not. Now that shouldn't have been too hard. Everybody should have got a handle on that one. Are you a knowing and willing murderer? Bingo. He's too cowardly to do it himself, so he has no problem ordering some punk to go kill another one, or kill anybody, or to have it done 3 or 4 meters away from him. But he hasn't got the guts to do it himself. Third question. Are you a knowing and willing sexual deviant? God damn it. He dare not let Michelle find out just how far he is, although she's no improvement. Okay, now, each of you asking your question, whatever you want to ask him. Hold on to the subject, don't let him go, we're not done yet. Not being able to wiggle and get the hell away, does it? Spiritually, mentally, or anything else. But hold that son of a bitch right there. He can't go unless you turn him loose. I ask him this question. Are you a knowing and willing racist even against black people? He doesn't consider himself black. And now take his ass and just throw him, if you've got him, all the way down into perdition. That's right, throw him right now. It's like a goddamn sack of sand off the truck. And order him to stay there. He cannot return. The judgment is final and without appeal. And now take a couple of minutes and clean yourself. You've got to come back up to some kind of righteous level. Dissolve the bodies of light and everything you've got. Go make yourself new ones. Pick up some black fire if you feel like you need it for extra firepower and energy on yourself. Okay. Yes, Carol, this is a hell of a time for a good cold beer. I'm glad I've got one. I hope you do.
Very good.
Okay. Now, if we can keep the echoes from down, and see if I can remember everybody that's on, and I'll try to go down the list and give you your minute. And when you get done, go back on the hold or mute or something. So we keep these echoes down. I think Shiloh, you're a senior in rank. Let's do it by rank if I can remember everybody. What did you get there? Shiloh?
Oh, he was just so fucking uncomfortable. Knowing that he was discovered and found out and trying to lie and not lie, do and not do, over and under. He knows he's on a pile of shit that he can't do anything about. And I felt it move and squirm between my hands on every single question. There was no escape, and he knew it.
Yep. Are you still got Randy aboard?
I don't think so. He said he had a storm, and so whenever he has a storm, he always can't stay online.
Yeah, okay. Now that was a round and a half, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Diane, I think you're next senior.
How'd you go, honey?
Oh, I'm sorry, Simon, forgive me. What question did you ask him?
Which would you prefer, your immediate death, or...
Yeah, the immediate question that you asked him of your own.
Yeah. Which punishment would you prefer, your immediate death, or that of your entire family? And the whole thing that really balances out on that is he would rather everybody in the whole United States die than give up what he is in the presidency.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Okay. Diane, you're up, honey.
My the sensation that I had was very similar to Shiloh's. He was like a worm. Mm. I'm trying to squiggle out a slimy little bastard. But he does when he talks in front of a camera.
Without a teleprompter.
Exactly. That's about all he could say. My question was, I think the rest of the answers are coming, but I want to know who could work with him to get him in office, who is the biggest player to keep him in office and help him continue his lies.
Mm-hmm.
And the answers weren't, he rolled over on, all the people that are close to him, and they're in the media. But I'd want to see more, I wish I could have had more time.
Well, that would have helped. This is
practice. Oh, I need to add one more thing. Two is the the other thing that happened was he doesn't know which way to answer anything or everything because the morality is absolutely non-existent.
Yes, it's like in hell. It's not there at all.
He was in a situation where he doesn't know how to specifically answer the question because he knows he's caught, and he's in a more profound damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bobby. Yeah, it's Pete.
Who?
Pete. Pete, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pete. I didn't know you were born.
I came in late. Yeah, I sensed also a touch of arrogance, kind of using an arrogant tone or way to wiggle out. So that was what I sensed. And, of course, my question was it's a pretty obvious question. Do you intend on transforming the United States into a socialist nation? Of course, he said yes.
Nothing unusual there.
Okay, I think Kitty is up next. Kitty?
Okay. Well, I was able to, discern, now this is not the first time that I've done this discerning spirit, and Barack Obama, we call him up a lot, so he's got a familiar vibration. This was the clearest that I've ever been able to nail it down. As far as just his own essence, and then asking, I'm usually never asking anything, I've just, commenced with the torture as soon as I've called him up. So this was the first time to get any answers. He tried to lie to me on those questions, and I sensed a different pulse, a vibration. It would change faster when he was lying, and it would slow down to tell me the truth behind his lie. I mean, the difference from cycles per second, from, say, 7 cycles per second for a lie, down to, say, up to 12, 15. For a lie, and down to 7 for the truth. So, just counting cycles per second, I could feel them pulsing in my head. The difference between his essence and the truth and a lie was the feeling of a pulse. And I don't know about those cycles per second, that's a guess.
The same thing as the intensity that a person goes through when they're taking a lie detector test. And don't know how to beat one.
Right. That's not right. Cycle per second is brainwaves, and I've studied that, so that's where I went with it.
What are you asking?
Now, the question that I asked him, and I'm stepping out on a limb here, and just like Diane, I didn't get enough time to pursue it, but my question to him was, what is the next false flag planned by government or government plural to further damage the U.S. Toward the enslavement goal. And he didn't want to answer me at first, but then it was kind of like what Shadow said, he just blurted out because he couldn't help it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't ever, it blurted out. There's going to be a super huge explosion. There's going to be a big energy explosion somewhere because the oil thing didn't work in the Gulf. Didn't work to get their F&K, so now they're going to try a big land on land explosion. And what I did not get to was when, where, by who, all that.
He may not even have that information himself.
He knew the where because I was just... But when you said throwing in the hell, I was zooming in on a place on the U.S. map in a region. And it was out towards the western desert, but it was moving more towards middle America, farmland. just kind of, you know, like I'm looking down on a cartographic map.
Wow.
And we were zooming as though I was floating vision towards the section of the map. He was going to tell me. But I thought, you know, I better do what you say. So I threw his ass in the hell and said, you know, I'll catch you later, son of a bitch.
Okay, so Dave Schiphol Horn?
Yes.
Yeah, what was it? How did you do?
Well, it took me 45 minutes to get on the phone, first of all. And I listened to a couple minutes, and then it went out again, and then I had to redial. So I don't know much about what you guys are saying.
Oh, okay. No problem. We've got it close.
It's just working on my phone.
Yeah. We've got it closer. You will be able to get the whole thing. Not a problem. Okay, I think that is the officers. Or do I have another one?
The case online.
Oh, Patrice, yes, my darling. I know I'm forgetting somebody. Why do you make me forget you all the time?
Because I probably tease you all the time.
How did George go, honey?
It went pretty good. He was very nervous because he knew I was black. He doesn't like speaking to black people unless he has to. And I asked him, where was his original birth certificate, and does he know that he's ineligible? And he got very, very shaky. And each time I kept feeling him try to pull away, and I kept grabbing him back. Very nervous.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought. No, he does not like black people.
No, he doesn't.
And that's why I kept feeling him pull away, and I had to pull him back. And it's just the way, you know, when Kitty and I got him in that big room, I can't remember the name of it, that, you know, where they have all their old sessions, and he put his arm up over his forehead and said, what the fuck? Because he knew we were doing something. He knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
He knew.
Oh, yeah. They were never in proximity to you like that. It's almost like you're standing person to person.
Oh, yes. It's thundering here. Is it thundering there?
Oh, yeah. We're about ready to have a buttermilk sky clapper up and rain.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, no, that's what I felt. He was very nervous. I couldn't get any answers from him because he knew, he saw my face, and he knew that I had been up in his ass many times before.
Well, it was probably as good a therapy for him as you can give him for the night.
Bad dream.
Yeah, okay. Carol, I think you're up next.
I'll be arrogant, unbelievable arrogant, and I asked him if he wanted to learn the truth, and he said no, he was too scared.
Now that doesn't surprise me a damn bit. He would be afraid of the truth. They all are. But if you ever felt a slimier son of a bitch in your life, and you've been around a lot of people, you know, even though this guy is vicarious, I have never found anyone as slimy as he is, and I've done built. This guy is off of the barrel.
Guy here is slimier than Obama.
I haven't tried him yet. I bet I tried him on.
Who?
Geithner.
Jamie Geithner.
Oh, hell yes.
He is slimier than Obama, and he is a dope fuck, demon personified.
Well,
Obama, he said something likable about him, a vicarious speaker. Geithner doesn't have that. He's a demon personified.
Good.
Ow. Dope fuck ass.
Okay, Coco?
Dave. Yes, sir. The question that I asked him was, why you deceive the people? And his response was desperate, like he was whining, they made me, they made me. And then he turned around and said, it's the money, it's the money. and he was squirming quite a bit.
Yeah, and you could tell he was telling the truth on both ends of that one, couldn't you?
Yes, sir. And when you mentioned about that you knew he was a racist, and he was shaking his head violently, saying yes, he was a racist, and that he don't consider himself black. So that one was targeted as well.
Yeah. The bastard.
Did he feel that you were black? He was so nervous, he was squirming like crazy. So he knew that you were black. Yeah, he probably knew because I'm a mixed, you know, descent as well, but walking on the holy road, it's like he was extremely nervous, violent, nervous, shaking quite a bit.
Excellent. Good therapy for him.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think, Danny, you were next?
Could be. I got a nervous feeling about it, too. I had to readjust my grip several times. I asked him about the taxes. I'd heard the story from a federal agent here of becoming 43% national sales tax, and I asked him about that one. He didn't deny it.
I found that he was really twisting and turning swingily to the part to hold on to him, so I held on to him. My question was for him if he was a baby murderer or not, and he said yes, but I found that there was a lot of vacillation in what he was saying.
Yeah, even turning the line, couldn't get away with it, what that amount of it.
That was my first holding on to a spiritual presence, so.
Yeah, evidently you did fine. Andrea, how are you doing?
Andrea? I'm here. What he said, the arrogance was there. He wanted to basically tell us all to go to hell. But the thing I asked him about, I want to know what his weak spot is. And it's sins of the flesh. He is an atheist. And that is where, that is, it's your weak spot.
Following in his footsteps?
Yes, I'm sure that they all seem to be the same ilk as of late.
Well, we know he's a crack addict. He likes the crack pot. And he likes homosexual fisting for his perversion. Sins of the flesh, that's definitely his weakness.
And we've been attacking that one before.
We probably should, now that we know what we know,
give that another effort. You know what? I said that he saw that as you were looking, you were going more towards the middle of the country.
Yeah.
He was, there's some rumbling down here in my area in Nebraska where we are targeted. And I'm not sure if it's a disease news or a biological. And there was a scare not that long ago.
Well, from what I gathered, it was not going to be biological because they're trying to pass an energy tax, the cap and trade energy restraint, so that they can totally strangle our economy. If they get over the energy, then it's over. They've already got health care. So if they get energy, it's done.
My voice is feeling a sense of urgency to collect seeds or gardens. In the last 2 years, I see something on film from Aaron Vestigema. I recently saw where his administration is trying to regulate what we can grow in our own yard.
Yeah.
In regards to a garden, a home garden, they don't want us to grow our own home garden.
They're raiding farms right now, small farms. Going in and raiding people.
self-against bill proposes, nor are they going to allow any individual to go fishing in any coastal water or streams.
I understand.
It's not even every lake, but it doesn't want to be free or coastal.
last month was the push now is to increase nuclear.
one of their bigger oil refinery masses. Now remember, the people who were on the rig at BP down in the Gulf, they said they saw, I believe it was a Korean setup in the area. So,
well, there's a Russian news release, Dennis Baum, said to us in a Russian newspaper that it was a North Korean sub in the Gulf.
But so anyway,
if I'm not mistaken, Andrea, and correct me if I am, isn't there one hell of a petroleum chemical processing plant over at the Kansas City, St. Louis?
No.
In Nebraska. It's east of Omaha. Bacon? Lincoln?
Well, Lincoln is west of Omaha.
Huh?
No. Lincoln is west of Omaha.
Yeah.
Omaha sits almost on the border right by the Missouri River.
That's
and then it's Omaha, then Lincoln, then Kearney, as you go out further, like you're going to Colorado.
Yeah.
There is an energy benefit. It's not as big. We do have massive amounts of coal trains coming in from Colorado. They come through the northern part of the state. I've seen it with my own eyes. But as far as I know, no. It's in Oklahoma. Oklahoma has some really massive oil refineries. But I'm happy what I saw in China, the pictures that they get leaked out. It was kind of got hit. And the first thing that crossed my mind was that it was the payback for what happened in the Gulf.
Could very well be.
I also want you to keep in mind, Bobby, I mean, this is the hush-hush. China has built one of the biggest nuclear sub-bases. They've surpassed America. They've surpassed Britain. They have surpassed what we have combined with our allies. It is a massive underground submarine base. So, I mean, China is not our threat, and China, I think, China is gearing up for, for all dominance, and they're getting the pat on the back in the UK by the one world government.
Of course. When Jimmy Carter and Communist Company gave away the Panama Canal, within 18 months, 70% of all the heavy industry in Panama was owned by China. Take a good look at the map and see where that sets as far as controlling the gates between the United States and everywhere we need to go. The old man said he would give the gates, our gates, to the enemy. And by God, he's done it. Well, will you not hold it all? Maybe he'll change his mind. But he definitely isn't going to with quite as good as us and all this horseshit. It is not going to happen. That chemical plant, damn, I can see that thing. It's right on the river.
That'll have to be all wonderful to do, isn't it?
Hey, you know where there's a chemical plant, and I saw it when I was traveling down, and my mom was just sick. When the rivers were flooded, when Iowa got hit so bad, it went down 29, and I moved to Missouri, but I went from Missouri over to Tennessee, Memphis.
sides of Temple loaded with factories of all kinds and refineries and what have you. That would not surprise me to find the bastards in Washington willing to take out one that would create the carbon problem, like Pete says. And of course, they would take the one that had been around, has the biggest name, rather than the newest one. Because they're going to use it anyhow. It's all owned to the same people. They'll blow up a jumper and claim how many millions of dollars was lost in it. So, if we find one...
This is the environmental trade-off that our Greenpeace just did the beginning of. Now the government's found out there's money and power in it.
Yep.
Just like highway rock and traffic cops, the government found out there's money in it.
Yep.
Well, that's because Greenpeace is now in the government.
Yes, it is.
Uh-oh.
That's why I was so stunned that Obama promoted a cut. Well, what the hell? Did you run out of Federal Employees International Union and Acorn and left Baker on it to get jobs too?
Well, it looks like it. They want you to think so. Okay, are there any questions about discerning the spirit? How to do it? Anybody need a walkthrough? Anything?
I wouldn't mind, sir.
Okay, Dave. It's a relatively simple process that you need to get familiar with. It's probably easier if you just call me some evening and I'll walk you through it, because it's a little intense, a little extensive for those that haven't been through the training to start from zero.
Okay.
Like you'll have to do. But I will do this, and we'll mail you these things. We'll just print out copies of the lessons and send them to you. Easier than it is to hold everybody up for an hour and a half.
Right.
But it's an easy process. How you make a belly ball?
Yeah.
By putting your hands together. To pull up a spear, you just put your hands out farther so that belly ball energy doesn't get into it. And then just call up who the hell ever you want, living or dead. And feel them in your hands. But there's a bit of other training. We walk them through feeling the grand elements of Akasha. All the bits of walking them up and down the planes a little bit. They're a hell of a lot better trained now than they were a month ago, let's put it that way. Anybody else? Okie dokie. Anyone got any general questions about the core? Whatever we need.
Okay. Also, I just have one more reminder. Diane, are you still there?
Yes, here I am.
Diane, remember that CD of Bobby's that we played at the swap meet?
Yeah, I do.
Can you make us all copies, please?
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just not having a clue what the hell you play.
Well, with your music that we had pulled off the...
The lifted off the plastic?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
How many copies are you talking?
I don't know. I want one.
Oh.
Can we put those files online so they're downloadable by everyone and it saves time? Diane's doing it without a premium. No, that sounds perfect. If we can do that, that's great.
Yeah, no problem. That would be
okay. I'll get you the files, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Gerald, now that we've got you up for a minute, are you still there? Gerald? No, evidently not. I want to ask a couple of questions about Arizona, and he's the one that's out there. Anywho, is that the children? I bid you a very fond good night.
What's in store for next week? What's the training?
I haven't decided yet.
depends on how well you do this one. But this much I can tell you. It's a little bit like a preacher that they had to hire for one of these churches once they'd lost their old standby. And the young fellow, and they went and picked him up, brought him up to the church, gave him his car and everything. And it happened to be a Wednesday, so he held a Wednesday prayer service. And he did a sermon that was hellfire and brimstone. You could smell the smoke. And everybody thought, boy, this guy's really all right. We got a winner here. Trouble is, it's a Friday night prayer session. He preached the same sermon again, word for word. Not good. Well, now, I guess everybody's eyebrows up a little bit. For the Saturday afternoon ice cream social, he preached that same sermon, word for word, again. Then he did the Sunday at Sunday school, and at the Sunday night services, he did it again, word for word. And this goes on for about a week or so, and finally the church council got together and said, Minister, we got to talk to you a little bit. You're an awfully nice guy. Everybody likes you. You're just the salt of the earth, and everything is going well in the church, and everything is getting taken care of. And so, what? But we have a question for you. He said, well, when are you going to change your sermon? He said, when you start practicing the one I'm preaching. So get in there and do some practice. Everybody needs it. But learn to read the elements. You can't pussy around for 10 years. Start reading it. You got a couple of minutes to yourself. Read one of them for a minute. That experience will start snowballing in your understanding. And then when you call up one of them, you're going to feel a hell of a lot difference in your walk. You want to go up or down the plains? All right. Then get out and go up and down them in order. The order is critical. And it'll let you, and just take the time when you go up on one of them. Look, you're in no hurry. And if it's out in the heavens or down in the depths, you don't have to catch a train. Take a minute and feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there you're not feeling with this one between your hands. You're feeling your whole spirit body. And do that, and you'll be surprised how quick your fire power will multiply. Your spiritual understanding will multiply. You'll go back and read part of the AED and say, I know damn well that wasn't in there when I read it the first time. More so than before. You'll read the Bible, and suddenly it'll start talking spirit to you instead of King James being thou. Okay? Practicing the sermon I'm preaching.
Do you have all this on audio?
Yes, we do. We have every bit of it recorded.
Perfect.
Okay, guys.
Wait a minute. I got a question. And I got one additional comment. That is absolutely true. You can read the AED again, and what's happened is our library is so much bigger, so that everything, it's not even in the case of where it wasn't there before, it's the library behind it is profound. But my question is, Bonnie, is are you going to have the transcript available quickly?
Yes.
Because if you send it to me, I'll put it up too.
Okay. I'm going to go through an HTML before I can post it. Yeah.
But can you send me the file? Because I'm putting it there in a Word file, PDF, and a text.
Yeah. Can do.
Okay.
All righty, children. Good night.
Good night, Lonnie.
Good night. Good night.